Welcome. Hope you had a nice dinner. Aloha. My name is Claire, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Claire.
My sobriety date is August 9th, 2012. My home group is the Friday Night Young People group in Kihei, Maui. Fridays at 6:45. Come join us. I am currently the Kihei District DCM. Thank you for letting me be of service. This is the anonymity statement. There may be some here who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Thus, we respectfully ask that AA speakers and AA members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio tapes or in any published or broadcast reports of our meetings, including those reports on the internet or other media technologies. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our efforts to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. Our tradition of anonymity reminds us that AA principles come before personalities. We have an agreement with an outside vendor, Smile God Loves You Media Services, to offer for sale audio recordings of this event. You can purchase a recording on a thumb drive, a link to an MP3 or CD outside this room at the Smile God Loves You table. Welcome to panel 4. Finding common ground, our friends in the professional community and beyond. Our reader for this panel is Tracy F.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Tracy, and I am an alcoholic. Let's be friendly with our friends. These facts of alcoholism should give us good reason to think and to be humble. Surely we can be grateful for every agency or method that tries to solve the problem of alcoholism, whether of medicine, religion, education, or research. We can be open-minded towards all such efforts, and we can be sympathetic when the ill-advised ones fail. We can remember that AA itself ran for years on trial and error. As individual AAs, we can and should work with those that promise success, even a little success. Nor ought we allow our special convictions or prejudices to overcome our good sense and goodwill. For example, numbers of us think that alcoholism is mainly a spiritual problem. Therefore, we have little time for biochemists who would like us to believe that drunks drink mostly because they are bedeviled by bad metabolisms. Likewise, we are apt to get red hot when psychiatrists wave aside all issues of real problem of the alcoholic always gathers around the neurotic compulsions which he innocently acquired as a child, becoming maladjusted because of his erring parents. Or when social workers say that the true cause of alcoholism are to be seen in faulty social conditions, we are apt to get the restive and say, who care a hang what the causes are? Anyway, AA can fix drunks without getting into all that. In similar fashion, some of us AAs decry every attempt at therapy, save our own. We point to certain clinics and committees that have accomplished little. We complain that huge sums are being wasted by state and private sources. We roundly thump every experimental drug that turns out badly. We belittle the attempts of the men and women of religion to deal with us drunks. We believe that sound alcohol education is a good thing. But we are also apt to think that AA, indirectly, is doing most of it anyhow. From Let's Be Friendly With Our Friends, Friends of the Alcoholic, pamphlet 34.
Our presenters for this panel are Heather N., Area 18 Delegate. Drew B., Area 5 Chair. Joe S., Area 58, alternate delegate. Suze B., Area 72, CPC chair. Larry S., Area 3, delegate. Our timer for this panel is Rachel E.
Hi, my name is Rachel. I'm an alcoholic. For this session, each of the presenters will give an 8-minute presentation. The green light comes on immediately after the presenter introduces themselves. The yellow light, caution, comes on after 7 minutes, and the red light ends the presentation. If the red light turns on, we will thank the speaker with a warm applause. If the presentation is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 16 minutes, with a yellow light at 14 minutes. Sharing from the floor microphones will be timed at 2 minutes. The yellow light comes on at 90 seconds, and the red light at 2 minutes, followed by loving applause. If the speaker is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 4 minutes, with the yellow light coming on at 3 minutes.
Okay. First, we have Heather N. with the topic, Reaching Professionals in 2026. What's working, what's not, and where are the gaps?
Aloha, my friends. My name is Heather, and I am an alcoholic. I have the honor of serving Idaho Area 18 as her Panel 76 delegate. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the PRASA host committee, as well as my dear friend and program chair, Bob H., for this topic. When we talk about common ground, it's important that we start with something simple and true. Our common ground is the alcoholic who still suffers. That's where Alcoholics Anonymous began, and that's where every one of our efforts, inside and outside the rooms, must land if they're going to matter. Today, I want to talk about cooperation with the professional community and beyond, not as a program, not as a committee function, but as people showing up where alcoholics already are with humility, clarity, and care. From the very beginning, Alcoholics Anonymous has had friends in medicine, in education, in corrections, in faith communities, in industry. Bill W. wrote in AA Comes of Age that what these outside services have meant in terms of aid to AA and endorsement of our society is beyond estimate. Our common ground with professionals is not a shared ideology. It is not agreement on everything. It's not affiliation. It's shared concern for human suffering, the alcoholic suffering, and a willingness to help. When PI or CPC trusted servants show up at professional events, we are not endorsing a program, a system, or a point of view. We are showing up because someone there may need AA or may someday be the bridge that helps another alcoholic find us. So I reached out to the CPC committees across the Pacific region, and here's what they told me that what's working. Personal relationships, members who have built trust with professionals over time. Simple tools like business cards that make AA easier to refer to. Tailored presentations that respect the audience's time and language. Thinking outside the box, like making inroads into trades or workplaces we don't traditionally think of. Starting small, one project, one relationship, one success. Doing it well no matter the size. Collaboration and idea sharing amongst the various CPC and PI committees. What's working is not perfection. What's working is presence. What's not working? So let's be honest about that. Getting in the door can be hard. Too many committees of one. Little understanding or interest in CPC work among the broader fellowship. Our materials can be overwhelming. The sheer volume, length, and density of materials can be hard for committee members and for busy professionals to absorb. And frankly, there's a lot of pushback from within our own fellowship. Concerns about anonymity, promotion, or affiliation. None of this means the work is wrong, it just means the work is unfinished. There are gaps. One of the most important things I heard from our region was this. We often have to start by educating our own fellowship first. Many volunteers show up with enthusiasm and good intentions, but without enough grounding in our 12 traditions, conference-approved materials, or the purpose of CPC and PI. The gap creates fear, fear creates resistance, resistance can turn into apathy. And apathy is something we've been warned about for decades. In a 1980s Grapevine article, a member wrote about discovering that AA itself is not perfect, and that much of what could be done is not being done, not because of opposition, but because of apathy. Another wrote in a Grapevine article in 1990, in my home group, 80% of everything is done by 20% of the members, if you're lucky. The imbalance doesn't just affect service, it affects our own personal recovery and the effectiveness of our society as a whole. I know from my own personal experience as a CPCPI West chairperson for Idaho last rotation, starting small, educating our little committee so that they can in turn educate those around them paid dividends. And just 2 short years later, they are a highly active, educated, and enthusiastic group that continues to grow. We are fighting the good fight against apathy to ensure the hand of AA is always there. But people who come into contact with alcoholics before we do know how AA can help, how to find us, and where to send those who need to find AA. Here's a little loving reminder from our history. Bill W. warned that Alcoholics Anonymous would not be destroyed by outside forces, but by internal disunity and failure to adhere to spiritual principles. And one of these principles is action. In AA Comes of Age, he wrote, AA is more than a set of principles, it's a society of recovered alcoholics in action, and an AA service is anything, whatever, that legitimately helps us to reach fellow sufferers. That is the measure. Not comfort, not approval, not unanimity. Does it help us reach the alcoholic who still suffers? That's what we should be asking ourselves. And why does this conversation matter now? Well, in my humble opinion, this conversation always matters and should be discussed often, but at our 2026 General Service Conference, on the agenda there is an item to consider a request that standalone audiovisual clips be created when developing any new or revised videos for professionals. I hope you do help fully inform your delegate. What are your group's thoughts on this item? Do you believe it is necessary? Do you believe that this will help carry the message? Do you believe this is the best, not just a good solution? So what is our common ground? Our common ground is this. Alcoholics are suffering inside and outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. Professionals encounter us every day. AA has something unique to offer. And cooperation, not isolation, is how the message travels. Our friends in the professional community are not replacing AA, they are not defining AA, they are often the first point of contact before the alcoholic ever walks into a meeting. This work asks something of us. It asks us to trust our traditions, stay anchored in conference-approved materials, speak simply, listen carefully, and keep showing up even when it's uncomfortable. It also asks us to look inward. Where are we hesitant? Where are we silent? Where might apathy be costing someone their chance to find AA? The good news is we don't have to fix everything. We just have to do something together. Because the common ground has always been and always will be one alcoholic reaching another, sometimes through unexpected hands. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Our second presenter is Drew B. Liability and Shared Spaces. How do we cooperate with affiliating?
Buenos tardes, mi gente. I'm Drew, I'm alcoholic. My sobriety date is December 6, 1995. My home group is the Love and Service Group. We meet in Pleasant Hill, California. That's in the California Northern Coastal Area 06. of which I serve as area chair. My topic is liability in shared spaces. How do we cooperate without affiliating? Liability is about responsibility, and we have a statement for that, right? Say it with me. When anyone, anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there, and for that, I am responsible. So let's zoom out and look at our shared geography. I have some bad news for you. If you don't know, AA has not seen any significant membership growth in over 30 years. Since I got sober in 1995, registered membership has hovered around 2 million. In 1995, the registered number was around 1.7 million members. In 2021, the last time the estimate was shared, it was 1.9 million. Yet, as a ratio of the population, these numbers appear much more alarming. The U.S. population in 95 was approximately 266 million, and in Canada, 29. Today, the population of the U.S. is 345 million, 40 million in Canada. Considering the rise in population, AA membership has shrunk by 16%. That's the equivalent of 300,000 AA members. Both the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration and the National Institutes of Health estimate that 10% of Americans and Canadians suffer from alcoholism, meaning that there are over 38 million potential or actual AA members walking around our part of North America. My first question is this: why is our fellowship shrinking as there are over 35 million potential members of AA walking around out there? Is it because we are not friendly with our friends? Cooperation, not affiliation, is the core of our sixth tradition, ensuring the fellowship remains independent, non-professional, and focused solely on recovery. AA works with professionals, treatment centers, and courts to help alcoholics, but never endorses, finances, or joins outside organizations. But have we crept too far away from the professional and the public communities and blunted our outreach efforts? Are we letting fear get the best of us when we neglect the opportunity to cooperate at the local level with non-alcoholic professionals who encounter suffering alcoholics in their line of work? Physicians, nurses, psychologists, and medical students, judges, attorneys, law enforcement and police officers and court professionals, educators, social workers and students in professional schools, members of the clergy and faith-based organizations, human resources professionals, employee assistance programs, industrial managers and union leaders. These members of our communities are the ones who should be recommending Alcoholics Anonymous. Are they recommending us in your neighborhood, hometown, district, or area? Sounds like a no. What about the more obvious organizations like rehabs, detox centers, clinics, and psychiatric facilities, military bases and veterans affairs facilities, let alone homeless shelters, senior centers, and civic groups? We share the same geography and physical spaces with these community members who are absolutely trying to deal with desperate alcoholics looking for a solution. Unfortunately, at many levels, the PI and CPC committees that are charged with spreading the word to all these potential friends of AA tend to be the last ones filled, if at all. Kurt Vonnegut said, "Another flaw in the human character is that everybody wants to build and nobody wants to do maintenance." What is it about PI-CPC work that seems so unsexy to us? Or have we tacitly adopted a mindset that AA is a secret society? Or are we just resting on our laurels, waiting for that drunk bus to deliver newcomers to us like DoorDash? And don't get me started about the space called the internet. That's a space. Our seeming reluctance to engage people online has most likely also added to our shrinking of the membership. I was maybe the last generation to get sober with payphones and phone books. Now people are asking AI agents to help them stop drinking. And I'll tell you, most of the time, AI is not recommending AA. Bill W. wrote in The Grapevine in November 1960, a vast communications net now covers the earth, even to its remotest reaches. Therefore, nothing can matter more to the future welfare of AA than the manner in which we use this colossus of communication. used unselfishly and well, the results can surpass our present imagination. In cooperation with the public and providing them information, what if Bill's net of communications was many more intergroup, district, area, and individual AA group websites, making us more discoverable to the local online searches? When someone looks for a solution into their drinking online, AA is never an upfront suggestion. In my 15 years as a tech professional, I think we have missed the boat on search engine optimization. That toothpaste is out of the tube. But we now have a chance to get on the ground floor of how generative AI is fundamentally redefining search from a list of links to a direct answer model, transforming how information is discovered and accessed. Look, I know that our generation of AA is going to have to figure out anonymity in the age of AI. And believe me, it's not going to be easy, but doing nothing is no longer an option. We have to try and probably make several mistakes, but try nonetheless. In summary, the data reflects a stark reality. Our fellowship is shrinking even as the number of people who need us continues to grow. This suggests that our traditional PI and CPC models, while historically effective, remain rooted in the 20th century. By staying within our comfort zones, have we missed the opportunity to properly arm today's frontline professionals with the facts about our program? The rapid pace of the 21st century isn't a threat, it's an invitation. We have a massive opportunity to modernize our outreach using digital tools to do 12-step work at scale. I realize here at PRASA, I'm absolutely preaching to the choir. I must look at myself and how I treat my fellow members of AA and make AA attractive in this version of service work that I call 12-step at scale. I must continue to encourage my fellow service members to think creatively and revisit the often overlooked communication methods, as well as try new ones. The 11th tradition defines us as a program of attraction rather than promotion. However, let's be clear, our policy of attraction was never meant to be a shroud of obscurity. Tradition 11 protects our egos, not our accountability to the still suffering. If the suffering alcoholic cannot find us, whether that's in a doctor's office, a homeless shelter, or an online search result, we haven't protected our traditions. We have failed in our responsibility to the still suffering alcoholic. Mahalo.
Thank you, Drew. Our next presenter is Joe S., the CPC work. Whose job is it? Committees, groups, or individual members? Joe.
My name's Joe, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Joe.
I'm not Mary C. If you look on your agenda, Mary C. was supposed to be with us tonight, but she got sick. So I received a call at 7, or earlier this morning from our delegate asking me what I was doing at 7 p.m. this evening. My first thought was, yeah, right, and here I am. So my name's Joe, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 18th, 2005, and my home group is Hope No Smoke. I am currently the alternate delegate for Oregon Area 58. I am pretty familiar with this topic, so that's a good thing. So here we go. CPC work, whose job is it? Committee, groups, or individual members? All of the above. I first got sober when I was a couple months before my 21st birthday, and I wasn't quite prepared to go out and reach out to professionals. But I was newly sober and young, and I was super passionate about service. So what this did was afforded me the opportunity to be a member and to be boots on the ground and be able to do some of that committee work and get acquainted with Alcoholics Anonymous. I quickly learned I needed to know a little bit more about Alcoholics Anonymous, so I took a district committee position as the literature chair so I could learn a little bit more about what I'm supposed to be talking about doing these panels. Shortly after I was the literature chair, I took a PI position. I was extremely passionate about carrying the message into the high schools and taking panels to middle schools and high schools. This was my first opportunity to actually do some, to be a committee chair, which is kind of scary for anybody who did that for their very first time, cracking open that workbook, those crisp pages, so many different things you could be working on, but I was super excited to do that. Why? My mom was in education. She was able to introduce me to health and wellness teachers around the Portland metro area, and we were able to take regular presentations quarterly into many high schools in the Portland area, which was super exciting. We had young people speaking to high school students, and it was just a cool opportunity. I was super worried rotating out of that position because we had regular commitments, and so I took the CPC chair because I was becoming more comfortable interacting with the administrators and the teachers that we were regularly speaking with. So as the CPC chair, I got the opportunity to really light a fire in myself for Alcoholics Anonymous. It allowed me to build out a committee, have people come with me and deliver these panels, light the fire in Alcoholics Anonymous that I was afforded by being able to speak to these students. It also was an opportunity to have such a large committee below me that I didn't have to do all these panels myself anymore. I had the opportunity to go out and reach out to other professionals. We were able to set up with med students at OHSU, second year med students, a lunch and learn where they were able to sign up to go to open AA meetings. And we were able to reach out to the clergy and do all the exciting things in Alcoholics Anonymous. CPC work doesn't come easy at all. It takes a lot, especially as a young person. I felt very uncomfortable as a 25, 26-year-old reaching out to professionals when I wasn't a professional myself. But I was in sales, and I was very, very familiar with rejection. So I was okay getting shut down by professionals that we reached out to them for service opportunities. The one thing that I really learned in the committee work that I did is how organized we really have to be at the service committee level. My nervousness of rotating out of that PI position because I wanted continuity in our ability to continue to carry the message into the high schools was so exciting. For that to disappear was scary. And I believe that we need to be, as we're rotating, training the people below us, making sure that we're introducing them to the contacts that we have at all of the facilities that we're attending, and making sure that they know who they are. I think it's extremely important that we're organized because we need to know where we're going, who we're talking to when we get there. For me, it was, what was I supposed to be wearing to one of these panels? Like, I didn't know that type of stuff. I needed to learn those things in Alcoholics Anonymous. The speaking at non-AA meetings really, really applied to me. And so for me, committee work was just so exciting, and I think that's a huge responsibility for us as alcoholics. I think at the group level, my home group had the opportunity to, my home group had the opportunity to create a liaison position for the PI and CPC committees. As a previous PI and CPC chair, and I think at that time was a DCM for our district, I knew how scary it was to be that committee of one. There was so much work to be done, and doing that as one person is very hard. And so just having one other person show up to your meeting and gain momentum was exciting. And so I think as groups creating these positions to be able to help out the CPC chairs at the district and at the area is extremely important. As the PI and CPC chair, I was both at Oregon Area 58, we were able to get the CPC chairs from all the districts together and make sure that we had a committee that was actively working on this. I think it's been said before, I think PI and CPC is underutilized in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that is my experience with it. It's not as sexy as treatment and corrections. I think it's pretty sexy. I love it. It is a passion. But I think the ultimate responsibility is to us as members. We all have professionals in our lives. We have the opportunity to, we have a family doctor, or we have an HR manager. We have somebody in our life that we can carry the message to. If they're our doctor, they've probably seen our lives change in dramatic ways. We're supposed to be anonymous at the level of press, radio, and films, but it's our responsibility and encourage to have those open conversations and dialogues with the people that are in our lives. So they know that Alcoholics Anonymous is here when we need it, or when they need it. And, you know, we might be the only big book that doctor ever reads. I think that is our responsibility, and us as members can carry this message in a way that no committee can ever do. So I think the ultimate responsibility when it comes to this work with professionals is working individually and carrying that message on the professional level. So I think that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe. That was great. Okay. Our next presenter is Suze B. Her topic is Other Fellowships and Recovery Programs, Cooperation Without Affiliation in 2026.
Hi. I'm Suze. I'm also proud to be the Area 72 Western Washington CPC chair. My sobriety date is today, 2014. Thank you. My home group is Saturday Morning Attitude of Gratitude. And I'm not going to say anything that's new here. We had similar topics, but I think I'm going to reiterate and drive home what everybody's been saying. And I want to begin with a sentence that might feel uncomfortable. If professionals don't understand AA in 2026, it's not their failure. It's ours to repair. And let me explain why I believe that. In the early days in Akron, Sister Ignatia, she worked at St. Thomas Hospital, and Dr. Bob Smith worked with Alcoholics Anonymous, and they shared a problem, sick alcoholics who needed help. So they cooperated. The hospital provided medical detox, AA provided peer support and a spiritual program of recovery, but they did not merge. They did not co-brand. They did not create joint governance. They cooperated without affiliating. And because they understood that distinction, alcoholics lived. Non-affiliation protects AA. Cooperation extends it. Both matter. When we talk about cooperation with the professionals, we also have to mention Marty Mann. Marty understood early that staying sober was not enough. The world needed to understand alcoholism differently. She built bridges to physicians, educators, and the media, and she helped professionals see alcoholics as people who could recover. And that spirit became what we now call cooperation with the professional community, or CPC. And here's the hard truth. That landscape has changed. In recent AA membership surveys, only about 4% of members report that a health professional introduced them to AA. Just a few years earlier, that number was 6 or 7%. And that might not sound dramatic, but when professional referrals represent a shrinking slice of how people find us, visibility matters. As we heard also, at the same time, there's a decline, modest decline, in our overall membership. And we can't necessarily claim direct causation. Many factors affect membership, culture, demographics, technology, COVID. But here's what we can say. When fewer professionals mention AA, fewer suffering alcoholics know that it's an option. And here's the statistic that should bring urgency. According to national data, more than 90% of people with alcohol use disorder receive no treatment at all in a given year. And that means that the overwhelming majority of people suffering never reach treatment, they never reach mutual help, and they never reach recovery support of any kind. And that's not AA's problem. And that's not the hospital's problem. And it's not some other recovery program's problem. That's a shared human problem. And that's our common ground. Recently, a non-alcoholic teacher who invited us into her middle school health class, she suggested it might help her get approval to hang a poster in her classroom if we listed multiple recovery options, not just AA. She was thoughtful. She's hugely helpful and supportive. She just did not understand affiliation. And at that moment, it taught me something. If we don't clearly explain who we are, other people will fill in the blanks. Another professional told me that at her hospital, she rarely hears doctors recommend AA anymore. Most of them don't even think it works. But here's the irony. They see the relapse cases. They see the emergency room patterns, crisis. They don't see the quiet long-term recoveries. They don't see the sponsor calls at 10 p.m. or the grandmother who picks up their grandchildren sober. They don't see the small business owners celebrating 15 years. They definitely don't see all of us here today. Because when AA works, it's invisible. And when we're invisible, myths grow. The research doesn't support these myths. Major systemic reviews, including work from the Stanford and Cochrane collaboration, they found that participation in AA and 12-step facilitation produces rates of sustained abstinence that are comparable to, and in some cases higher, than other treatment options. AA is not outdated. It's not unstudied. It's not irrelevant. But if professionals don't know that, then whose responsibility is it? If professionals don't understand AA in 2026, that's not their failure. It's ours to repair. So let's be clear about affiliation. Affiliation would mean shared governance, legal ties, joint branding, public identity as one entity. And that's not what we do. It's not what we should do. Because affiliation blurs responsibility. Affiliation pressures AA to promise outcomes it was never designed to promise. Affiliation compromises our spiritual independence. But cooperation is active. Cooperation means we introduce ourselves. We learn the language that the professionals use. We understand current research. We clarify what AA is and is not. We show up when we're invited. And then we go home having stayed true to ourselves. And here's the distinction. Non-affiliation is a boundary. Cooperation is a behavior. A boundary without behavior, it just becomes isolation. And isolation does not serve the still suffering alcoholic. Recovery in 2026 is diverse. Many people try multiple pathways. Some find us later, some find us first, some, believe it or not, recover without us. We're not the entire ecosystem of recovery, but we are a vital part of it. Confidence in who we are allows us to cooperate generously. We don't need to compete, we don't need to dilute, and we don't need to affiliate. But we do need to engage, because when over 90% of people with alcohol use disorder receive no help at all, the greatest cooperation could look like this. We share a mission with professionals. Fewer people dying, more people recovering. Now that's common ground. So what do? We rebuild relationships intentionally. We reach out to one hospital, one clinic, one school district, one counseling office. We share accurate information, not slogans. We remember Marty Mann. We remember Aquin. We remember that cooperation has always been part of AA's survival. And we take responsibility for our narrative because visibility matters. Clarity matters. And lives depend on whether somebody hears about AA as an option. So I'll end where I began. If professionals don't understand AA in 2026, that's not their failure. It's ours to repair. Non-affiliation protects us, cooperation propels us, and when we practice both with integrity, AA stays AA, and alcoholics still find us. Thank you.
Thank you, Suze. And presenter five is Larry S. with the topic of corrections and treatment. Are facilities still opening doors to AA?
Oh, good morning, good afternoon. They shouldn't let me go fast or last. I'm over here rewriting my screeches. Like, oh yeah, there's that. So my topic is corrections and treatment. Are facilities still opening the doors to AA? And I'm going to focus on the corrections aspect of, as I know it. So thank you for the opportunity, Process Committee, for me to participate tonight. My name is Larry, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 7th, 1993, and my home group is the Way Out Group in Mesa, Arizona. Way Out. I am currently serving Arizona Area 3 as the area delegate. I'd like to start with a simple reality. Alcoholism does not stop at prison gates. In fact, for many who enter the correctional facilities, alcohol has been a part of their story for years, sometimes decades. It may have shaped relationships, employment, health, and eventually the decisions that led to their incarceration. Question, are correctional facilities still opening the doors to AA and why it matters in the treatment of alcoholism? In 1942, Warden Clinton Duffy at San Quentin asked nearby AAs to carry the message into the prison. He was heard to say that if the AA program will help just one man, I want to start it. We in AA are very blessed to have area and local correctional committees working together to provide resources and AA volunteers to carry that message to the confined alcoholics. And I know there are scores of you in the room today, and thank you. For many years, AA meetings were almost synonymous with recovery behind bars. Today, with modern therapies, medical treatments, and some changing philosophies, the role of AA may be evolving. Look a little closer. So, alcoholism in corrections, why this matters. Alcoholism remains one of the most common substances used among incarcerated populations. Many individuals report being under the influence of alcohol when their offenses occurred. Like I have heard many people say in the rooms, I may not have gotten in trouble every time I drank, but every time I got in trouble, I'd been drinking. And unlike some drugs, alcohol is legal, socially accepted, and widely available, and as we full know well, it often makes alcoholism harder to recognize or hide, or easier to hide. So when someone enters a jail or prison, they don't leave the alcoholism behind. So are we simply confining people, or can we give them a real chance at recovery? Why AA became so important? For decades, the answer inside of many facilities was simple: bring in AA. The reasons made some sense. It cost almost nothing. Volunteers were willing to come inside facilities. Meetings could be held anywhere, a classroom, a chapel, or any other common area. More importantly, AA offered something powerful, which is alcoholics talking honestly to other alcoholics. No hierarchy, just people saying, I've been where you are, or sure could have been. For individuals who often felt judged or isolated, that message can be transformative. When someone hears another person describing losing control over their alcohol, and that story sounds exactly like their own, something shifts. Shame begins to loosen, and hope becomes possible. And in correctional settings, that matters even more, because incarceration can strip people of identity and control. AA meetings often restore a sense of dignity and the idea that recovery is still possible even behind bars. And when someone leaves incarceration, that continuity can be life-saving. I knew that word yesterday. A person released on Monday can attend an AA meeting Monday night. That bridge matters. Are the doors still open? The short answer is yes. Turn on that yellow light so I can really speed up. I can talk a little bit about this topic in Arizona. Many correctional facilities still welcome AA volunteers and hold regular meetings. However, many do not. It varies vastly by facility and jurisdiction. The Area 3 Corrections Committee is working hard to establish relationships with corrections officials who make these decisions and also to develop AA advocates. The purpose of the Arizona Area Corrections Conference is to encourage and improve cooperation between Alcoholics Anonymous and the correctional professionals who administer the facilities. The goal of AA Corrections in Arizona for 2026 and 27, it will be to explore ways to help AA to improve recidivism. The overall theme for this rotation is break the chains, no going back. At the Arizona State Prison Wet Zone Complex near Tucson, there is an AA group called Sons of Serenity Group. We are very welcome at this state prison. The CO and the deputy warden both say having AA group inside makes their jobs easier, and they thank us for coming in. This is a registered AA group which holds peer-led meetings. It is not a panel that brings in a meeting out from the outside. They have their own GSR and an alternate GSR who is not incarcerated. And that person is in the room today. Yeah, isn't that awesome? They communicate the group's conscience to the area and to AA as a whole. Our delegate goes into the prison and gives them an annual delegates report to the group. The Tucson Area Intergroup is doing a corrections workshop with inmates participating on Zoom. This is only possible because we have a strong relationship with these corrections professionals. Two members of the corrections committee working on this conference are former inmates from that complex and have over 2 years sober. Another testament to the strong relationship between AA and the Whetstone Complex is they allow former inmates to revisit the complex after 2 years of sobriety, even if they are still on paper. So are facilities still opening the doors to AA? Yes, and they seem to be opening more doors overall. The key seems to be the relationship fostered with the corrections professionals. People from recovering from alcoholism need connection, and AA continues to provide that, both incarceration and after. When it comes to alcoholism, the goal isn't just release from prison. It's thank you. My name is Larry Stanley, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Okay. The floor is now open for sharing on the presentations. There are two microphones on the floor. I thought that there was four. Maybe there's only two now. Please line up, and you will be selected one at a time. I would like to remind everyone of the two-minute limit and four-minute limit for those requiring interpretation. The clock starts after you introduce yourself. Please do not come to the microphone for a second time until everyone else in line has had a chance to share first. Please keep your comments to the topic of this panel. We invite Spanish speakers to come to the mic. Volunteer interpreters are available. We'll start here. Oh, there's no mic. We'll come back to you. In the back? Okay. Just a second. Try again.
There we go. I'm Robert. I'm an alcoholic. I'm DCM from District 17 in Area 7, West Sacramento. Is my home group, East Yolo Fellowship in Yolo County. You know, we talked about outside help. Many alcoholics have more than one affliction, and I'm one of those. And so I took this thing called dialectic behavioral therapy. And in DBT, they taught me that there can be two realities that seem to be opposed, and they can exist at the same time, but they both can be true. So I want to offer two realities. One reality is what we've heard tonight, that in our membership has not grown, and we face a lot of challenges. But from my perspective, I see also another reality, and that was I got sober in 1994, and I went to a recovery house. And at the time, we used to make a joke that you spent $2,000, and they taught you how to go to AA and gave you a big book. And there were quite a few recovery houses when I talked to other people that had the same experience. And that was happening. But something else happened about that time, this thing called Proposition 36. So when I went back to volunteer, we got a couple Prop 36 beds. Well, now fast forward to now, and you go back to those same facilities, and their entire clientele comes from Prop 36 or other government-funded sources. So the reality is that there's a huge recovery industrial complex that are taking members that we would have had in AA. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying I think that's a reality, and we need to acknowledge that. Recently, I did a YouTube search for something about an AA speaker, and I'm cheap, and so I don't have the service where you don't get commercials, so I get commercials, right? And it started forcing a feed of anti-AA commercials. So here's another reality. We have the same membership we did in the 30s or in 1993. That's a win. There's so much opposition to AA. You know, we get called a religious organization. We have Celebrate Recovery.
Thank you. We'll come to the front now.
My name is Jeff, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jeff.
The Area 93 chair. And I love the fact that we're talking about this topic because confession time. I know that our local groups are not doing CPC, like actually doing it. We talk about it. Our committees will meet about it, but we're not actually doing it, right? And and we have addressed the problem with the technology and the reaching out to making ourselves accessible online. But again, we don't participate. Like, you'll see these flyers on your tables right now. The NAATW, National AA Technology Workshop. Most people have never heard of it. Your central offices and intergroups can go to this and learn how to take care of these issues. But there's also the ICOAA. Meets every year. It's the intergroup, central office. AA World Services shows up, AA Grapevine shows up, and we communicate on how we're addressing these kinds of problems. Are we accessible and reachable online? How are we conducting our business in the office? How do we keep contributions up? Everything to do with a central office we deal with right there. And people are working on these things, but you'd be surprised how few people go to these two sessions. And I think part of that is because, like Bill would say, that we're tight-fisted, right? Is that we don't want to spend the money to send them. So the ICOAA is coming up November 5th through the 8th, San Antonio, Texas. Send your intergroups. Thank you.
Thank you.
please.
I'm Michelle. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Michelle.
Aloha. This is my first PRASA. I am absolutely blown away. The chairs are so comfortable. Thank you, Area 17. This room is beautiful. I want to give a massive thank you to every single person who has spoken on our panels today. I am blown away. You guys have shared so beautifully a message that I'm really excited to integrate and take back to my district and to my home group. And I forgot what I was going to say, so here I am with my notes. Okay, first I wanted to say over 7 years ago, my therapist introduced me to AA, and I just wanted to try and stop drinking for a little bit. I was just going to try AA for a little bit and see how it went, and 7 years later, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink. So thank you to my therapist for that. And I did have a question about bringing meetings into jails. I have never been arrested, and a friend asked me, hey, do you want to take a meeting into a jail with me? And I feel apprehension that someone in jail, if I go into the jail, won't connect with me because I've never been arrested or been in their position. And so I wanted to bring that question to the person who spoke about that. Thank you.
Thank you. In the back.
Hi, everybody. My name's Don. I'm an alcoholic from Area 42, District 6, DCM. I want to thank the panel for carrying that message with enthusiasm, but while still presenting the reality of the data that we have from the membership survey. I said that at a recent service assembly, and it was like everybody, the wind had been sucked out of the room when I told people that AA had not grown, and everybody kind of got this down face, and you know, I love when we're able to carry a realistic message with positivity because I was taught to be real and authentic in AA. That's where I found the real me. So thank you for doing that. Drew, I agree with what you said. Bill W. says in Our Great Responsibility, our message won't change, but the way we communicate will. He very, very clearly states that message. And every colleges are teaching people AI prompt as a course. That's a reality of the current, right now, our current condition. And so the more we can look to how we see that, because that membership survey also told us that most people don't get to AA until they're 45 when they actually get here and stay sober. And so the opportunities that we create for ourselves through utilizing this technology, I mean, they figured out how to do PSAs when TV became more prominent. You know, AA was willing to change then. And like, if I hadn't made the biggest change in my life, I wouldn't be standing in front of you at my fifth PRASA. You know, change can be scary, but change can also give us the most opportunity for the greatest things. So Drew, definitely want to get your number. Thank you for all your message. Thank you for the PRASA committee. This is incredible. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Back to the corner.
Yeah, my name is Brent. I am an alcoholic.
I
come from San Mateo County. That's District 05, Area 06. Thank you for saying things that I've been trying to say for quite some time. Our PICP, well, first of all, I put my foot in PICPC about a decade ago, and it just won't come off. It's stuck. But one of the things I've been working on since our committee was pretty much decimated by COVID, I was reminding our groups exactly what was shared, and that is that our professional community, if they don't know who and what we are, that is our fault. And one of the things I like to talk about is there's a statistic that I believe it was 2012 pointed out that two-thirds of the people who come into the rooms of AA do so at the suggestion of a non-AA person. Hmm. Who informs that non-AA person? You know, our PICPC folks, that's who. And I also pointed out the observation, I've been doing it to some of our larger groups, pointing out the observation that our membership is shrinking. You know, and I didn't realize until it was pointed out the percentage-wise how badly it's shrinking. But is that any surprise? Then when I pointed out the reluctance in our county to participate in PICPC, we've been begging people to participate for years. Nobody's showing up. And so I kind of got in a passionate plea and pointed it out there that, you know, is it any surprise we're shrinking, man? And that worked. It actually got some people motivated. Unfortunately, people show up in a lot of instances like that ready to go. And the response to their what do I do now is find something to do. And real quick, just respect to the message in the jails, I'm also blessed to be our lead coordinator for seven meetings we take in a month. We share the message, not the mess. Those people don't want to hear your shit. They want to hear the hope that we carry. And the hope is that there is the message. So don't worry if you haven't got a big mess. Carry the message.
Thank you. I just want to let everyone know that the panel will end in about 15 minutes and that we'll go as much as we can through the people in line. Thank you. Go ahead.
I love it when I can make it to the mic. It's fun stuff. Hi, I'm Erin. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
I'm representing an Area 72. I will be honest. I came to very, very specifically listen to Suze. You did a great job, girl. That was awesome. She said something extremely important and that I appreciate that she said, and it means a lot and it resonates a lot with me, is that it is not the professional's responsibility to know about us. It is our responsibility to let them know what's going on with us, right? And some of the things, too, is that, you know, the professional community... What she said, when AA is working, we're invisible. And unfortunately, when we're not working properly, we're not invisible. Things do happen and things do leak out that affect the professional community, right? We had a lawsuit to try to get the original manuscript and then had to pull back because the fellowship said, hey, what are we doing? That is out of line. And that looked bad to the professional community. Lawyers question what AA is doing. Linda Cheesham, who is a Class A trustee, came from the professional community as a very highly respected and honored judge. And she was forced to resign. And that affected the professional community. And they question what we're doing. You know, when AA is working properly and working correctly, We would we make mistakes. It happens, we're human. I get that. But we have a program. Not individually do we just do our step work, but as a whole, in our groups, all the way down to New York, we should be doing our step work program. And an amends would need to be made. A true inventory would need to be made.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please, sir.
Hi, everybody. Bob Alcoholic.
Hi, Bob.
So I'm the chair of the Santa Clara County PICPC committee. So I was at a PRASA one time, and I was sitting at dinner with some past delegates, and they were talking about all this, and they said, if we spend as much time, and I've said this before, maybe you remember me saying this, if we spend as much time with PICPC as we do trying to change the wording in pamphlets, we'd have a lot more members than AA. So, our committees are limitless on what we can do. The only thing that's stopping us is not having enough people. So we need all you people in here to be making announcements that we all need reps, we need people doing this stuff. I go to meetings all over the place. It doesn't have to be my home group. I could never have been in the meeting before. I go up and ask the secretary, can I make a PI announcement? And they always say yes, and I make one. And I'm just relentless. I just keep going around doing this all the time. We really need to be pushing and working on trying to get more people. Working a booth in a PICP thing is just fantastic. It is sexy. It's a blast. And you really... A lot of the times you just, you know, make people aware of the meeting guide or something like that, but sometimes you get involved with some really amazing conversations with absolute strangers that spill their guts out to you. So get involved with this and get the rest of the fellowship excited about this stuff. We are actually doing quite a bit of stuff in Santa Clara County, but we could be doing more. There's nothing, we could have once a month, we could have a booth in front of a library. You know, there's a bunch of libraries around where we are. It's just limitless on what we can do. Thank you.
Thank you. In the back.
Hi, I'm Tammy, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Area 72, District 43 in Seattle, Washington. I want to say congratulations, happy birthday, Suze. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you to the panel. I relate to so much of it. I am currently, I'm a GSR at my home group, but I do go into the prisons twice a week, and they chair their own meetings. The incarcerated individuals, we have coins, we have papers, we have printed out so that we can give them coins for their birthday. They chair the meetings, we read the book. I came to AA for women. That's how I found AA. So I go back and I share the message 20 years later. And last summer I was able to do a first step. I went through 8 and do all 8 steps with a bunch of volunteers and incarcerated individuals in one day. It was absolutely amazing 20 years later of being released from there. It was the biggest gift for me to see the change in the women's faces when they came in and when they left. It was absolutely the biggest gift. You know, I give back where I can, you know, and PI and CPC, I've also done those service positions. We are at a point right now to where a lot of people don't want to show up and help, you know, and it's like, so I want to get numbers and your presentation so I can take it back home and give them ideas so that we can, you know, continue to do this. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for 2 more. In the back.
Jim, an alcoholic. Area 02, Alaska. Anchorage, Alaska. Alternate delegate. And I'd like to comment on the taking a message into treatment centers. Many of the people coming into AA now are coming from some kind of a treatment center rather than walking through the door on their own. And what we've found is that when people are in the treatment centers, a lot of them form a camaraderie with the other members in there, and they're kind of working with one another and helping one another. And so in Anchorage, what we're doing, we go in 7 days a week to various treatment centers. We go into a psychiatric institute. We go into rescue missions. We go into cold weather shelters and have a man and woman speaker share the message of AA fellowship. See, when these people get out, many of them go right back to the same friends, same neighborhood, and they're right back on the merry-go-round. So by taking the message in there, it's giving them another chance of fellowship with people so they can get the message. And it's very effective, I think, and we keep doing it. So thanks for letting me share. So.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Doris. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Doris.
Area 8, San Diego. Soy Doris, soy una alcohólica. Lo voy a hacer bilingüe en español. Yeah? Okay, both. I'll do both. So I wanted to say thank you to all the speakers. Thank you very much for every person who came before me. Thanks to you, I am here. I did receive the message through my therapist and my psychologist and... Well, I was in treatments. Quiero darle las gracias a todos los veteranos, todas las personas que estuvieron aquí antes que yo llegara, porque gracias a ustedes a mí me pasó el mensaje a mi terapista, mi psicólogo, mi psiquiatra y todos ellos. Muchas gracias. I also am here because I have a message from an incarcerated member, AA member. They have an AA group. I just started volunteering at Donovan Prison. It's a federal prison in San Diego. And they I have a message for all of you. Estoy aquí porque apenas empecé a ser voluntaria en una prisión federal, la Donovan, en San Diego. Y tengo un mensaje de uno de los miembros del grupo Luz Nueva Esperanza, grupo registrado en la prisión. And it says, getting the help by volunteers is one of the solid cornerstones because it shows the highest level of humility. That's what giving back is, to give back hope to those who lost hope while being incarcerated. Este es el mensaje que me pidió que les trajera. Recibir ayuda de voluntarios es uno de los pilares más sólidos porque demuestra el nivel más alto de humildad. Por eso, devolver lo recibido es tan importante. Dar esperanza a quienes lo han perdido mientras estamos encarcelados. So to me, that phrase was so important because I never in a million years would think I would go into a prison full of men. Yo nunca jamás se me hubiera ocurrido hacer un servicio en una prisión llena de hombres. And I thought I was going to carry the message to them, and they actually carried the message to me. Yo llegué pensando muy fregona que yo les iba a llevar el mensaje a estos hombres, y fue completamente al revés. Ellos me pasaron el mensaje a mí. So thank you very much for all the work that all of you have done, everyone who came before me. Thank you. Gracias a todos los que llegaron antes que yo. Gracias.
Thank you. We are out of time for this panel. For those who wanted to share but did not get an opportunity, there is a What's on Your Mind session on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Also, please be sure to put your questions in the delegate Ask It basket throughout the weekend, so there are plenty of questions for the 11 a.m. on Sunday. The Ask It basket will be available until 8:45 a.m. on Sunday. Please join me in thanking the presenters.